Our website is www.lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar, Friday evening, May 23, 1980, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is the teacher of the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Matter of fact, the preacher got mad and he hit the pulpit one Sunday morning and he blasted the Hegwish church and all these people that would go there and just invited them to get out of the church. I heard about it. I said, well, bless his heart. He just needs to see it up close. He's seeing it long distance and it's out of focus. Lord, let's just pray and let the Lord just put it right up close. Guess what? In a Sunday morning service in a week or so, right in the middle of the sermon, a man stood up and went berserk, screaming, hollering. He turned and the whole congregation was just frozen. Can you imagine that happening in a regular church? I mean, it destroyed the worship. I mean, paralysis set in. It wasn't creeping paralysis, it was pouncing paralysis. I mean, it grabbed everybody. And the tormented man, he jumped up and he ran screaming out of the church, ran out into the cornfield screaming. The whole church just stood there. The preacher was white as a sheet. As far as I know, he hadn't said a word about deliverance since then. May not have convinced him, but sure shut him up. By the way, the preacher that hit us on the radio did have the grace. He got on the radio and said he was wrong. He was dead wrong. That's more grace than most of God. Well, I suppose you're familiar with the fact. Well, of course, the next thing that comes, you say, you talk to somebody and they're having these tremendous problems and you say, well, you know, probably you need deliverance. Deliverance, what's that? Well, you know, you cast out demons. You think I'm demon-possessed? They do. Well, now I'll tell you how to answer that. Because, you know, if you just very carefully suggest that somebody just might have a demon because they're, you know, every once in a while they get on a tear and they go up the wall with their teeth, you know, and bounce off the top and they scream and kick and holler and all this kind of wild stuff, they might have a demon, you know. Something a little abnormal. Well, you know, their immediate response is, you think I'm demon-possessed? Well, I mean, you know, they look like they might kill you if you said yes. I mean, they're just insulted. Well, what you tell them is, no, I don't think so. Well, then they come down to earth, you know. And then you hit them. But undoubtedly you have demons. You see, the word possession occurs in our English translation, but does not occur in the original language. Friend, the devil was at the translator's table too. And that problem has caused a lot of problems, you know. Possessed with demons. Possessed with demons. It never says that. The Greek has three words. It says to have a demon, to be demonized, to be demoned. That's the three and only three expressions. They are translated vexed, to have a demon, to be demonized. I don't think to be demonized is in there. In one or two cases, it says possessed. And, of course, immediately, when you mention demons, I don't think Christian be possessed. I don't either. Well, I know he can't. I know there's one part of him that's sealed off. It can't possibly be. There's a seal there. But he can be covered up with them. And he can look like it and talk like it and act like it sometimes. It'd be hard for you to know unless you had discernment from the Lord. Know the difference. What I'm simply saying is, people have gone off the deep end and believed what they want to be true. They don't want to know how bad it is. You know, when the Holy Spirit shows you the truth about deliverance, and He has to do this, you will not know this in the natural. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit must show you. That's why it does no good to argue with people. People start arguing with me, I say, all right. It's like the man that told me, he said, I don't have any demons. I said, all right. He said, you don't believe that, do you? I said, nope. said, you mean you think I have a demon? I said, nope. Oh, he said. I said, you have several legions. See, they travel in bunches. They don't go singly. Very unlikely that you have a demon. One man who was supposed to have been very deep into Satanism. He even wrote a book about it. I heard him stand up and say, oh, I believe in deliverance, after he'd made fun of Don Basham and Derek Prince. This is several years ago. I sat in the service and heard him say this. He said, why, I believe in deliverance. After I was saved, three or four of my Christian brothers got together and they threw seven demons out of me. I turned to my wife, I said, I've seen seven legions in a baby that hadn't done anything. You mean that fellow that's been in all that mess got clean with seven? Of course, I could see a bunch of them sticking out of him like horns anyhow, you know. He was still loaded, bless his heart. He since then left his wife and children, run off with some of the younger gals. He said, we're living in a new day. Oh, it's not that new, people. It's not that new. All right. Now, believers are attacked. Look at Job, chapter 1 and 2. First and second chapters of Job tell you about the attacks on a believer. By the way, Job was the best man who was living on the earth. He wasn't just some little bottom-of-the-level man. He was the top shelf. And the believer was attacked, and attacked savagely. How did he win? He kept on believing God. By the way, he didn't have the book of Job to read and see how it turned out either. All he had was his bare faith in the Lord. God didn't come to him and say, now, Job, my son, you're about to go through a lot of trials and tribulations, but you'll be all right, son, because you're going to come out all right in the end. And you just, I'll give you a nice pep talk to get you all set so you won't be afraid and you won't be frightened when all this comes upon you. God didn't say anything. This thing hit just like a tornado. Bloom! And wiped him out in every area of his life. He had to hang on to his faith in God. Much to Satan's dismay. In Mark 1:23, Jesus stood up and read the scriptures, and a man with unclean spirit jumped up and screamed. I doubt seriously if that man knew he had that unclean spirit. I've seen this happen in services, in different places in the country. A lot of times I'd be preaching or just reading the Bible or maybe singing. Yeah, I don't sing that bad. But I've had them just pop up and start screaming, shut up! I don't want to hear it. Well, you know, can't be popular with everybody. This man with an unclean spirit leaped up, and I doubt seriously if the man knew it when this spirit manifested, but the spirit couldn't stand it anymore. He leaped up and said, we know who you are. Jesus said, you hush. Well, that's another sore point, you know.
Well, he talks to demons. That's wrong.
Is that so?
Jesus said he forbade them to speak. Would you please read and see why he forbade them to speak?
Why did he forbid them to speak? Friend, about a week before the crucifixion, the Pharisees knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was claiming to be the Messiah, the very Son of God. Once they knew for sure that's what he was claiming, it didn't take them very long to get him on the cross. Jesus, from the very word go, when he made public appearances, these demons would pop up and say, you're the Son of God. We know you. And he'd say, hush, you be quiet. He didn't do that to the gathering because there wasn't anybody there except his disciples. But when he was in the synagogue, when he was out with a crowd around him, with his enemies there, he forbade them to speak. And the scripture is explicit. It says, because they knew who he was. They were spilling the beans. They identified him as the Son of God. And you see, had he allowed that to go on, the Pharisees would have become convinced. They would have moved in before his ministry was finished. And God had purposed for his ministry to run a certain time. And then his son would give his life. That was the purpose of God and the will of God. The demons were crossing that, and that's why Jesus stopped them from talking. One reason that people have dropped out of deliverance, one reason they are not knowledgeable in many areas about the demons, how they operate, one reason they're not able to get the demons out is because they never, under any circumstances, will allow the demons to talk. They bind them, they choke them off, and they refuse to let them speak. So what the demons do, they drop out of sight and they say, "Now, brother, you're free." You're certainly not. The demon is quieted down. You think he's gone. He's not. I have to tell you this. You won't carry this out of here, will you? Glenn, please cut this off the recording. I'd hate for this to get out on me. I was over someplace, I don't remember, somewhere across the country, out west somewhere. And a demon was screaming at me, and they just scream at me all the time. And I tell them, I said, "I'm really a nice old man. You'd probably like me if you got to know me." Then they just have a spasm. But anyway, this demon was he was a world ruler. I keep running into these big boys every once in a while. And he was a world ruler. He said, "Willie, why aren't you a faith preacher?" I drew myself up. I said, "I am a faith preacher." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "You just said the faith preacher said they just lay hands on somebody and pray about 5 minutes. They say, 'Out in the name of Jesus. Now walk it out, brother, sister. You're all right. You're free.'" He said, "We don't even have to manifest for them." He said, "But not you." Oh, he said, "How he hates you and that stupid bunch of people that believe like you do." He said, "You just keep on and on and on and on until you drive a person out of a nut mind. And we have to manifest and we don't want to." I said, "You also have to come out, don't you?" He said, "Shut your mouth." Well, in that case, I'm glad I'm not a faith preacher, if that's their definition. But people, a lot of that garbage is going on. Batting butterflies and chasing blackbirds. Any little kid can say, "Shoo!" And the little butterfly demons, they're gone. You can take a rock and throw it at a tree full of blackbirds, and that whole bunch will go, "Shoo!" And they're gone. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm in favor of demons leaving of whatever variety they are. But you grab a rhinoceros by the tail, dear friend, and you just give it a yank and say, "Come out there, big boy." He'll turn around and look at you and say, "What did you say, you idiot?" "I said, come out of there in Jesus' name." "No." That's when I want one of those faith boys to step up and take over. Show me what they're talking about. I want to see their product. I don't want to hear them talk about it. I want to see it done. And you say, "I have authority over you." He says, "So what? You are a defeated enemy. So what? I'm not coming out. I've been here for years, and I'm not coming out. I don't want to." That can be kind of humbling. That means you have to settle down and go to work. Friend, work is some people are allergic to work. This will come as a surprise to you. Some preachers and a lot of Christian workers are just downright lazy. They don't want to work. They're the glory boys. You know, they want it to happen quick. Whoop, 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 whoop. Toot, 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 here comes the trumpet, you know. Well, I think it's nice to toot the trumpet after you have something tooted about. Of course, sometimes you're so tired, you don't feel like tooting too much. Usually after our services, we leave the service singing, "God's got an army, and it's dragging through the land." You know. When we start the service, we're marching, you know. Oh, boy. But after we leave, boy, we're dragging usually. But that's all right. We'll be back. We'll be in better shape next service. We'll be ready to go again. Praise the Lord. We've got to have some people who pour themselves out for this people. We've got to defeat the enemy. In order to do that, you've got to be more persistent than he is. In order to do that, you've got to be more determined than he is. In order to be that, you've got to match him with dedication. I'll tell you, the people in the devil's service put us to shame. Two different people last year brought us word, direct from Africa. One was a missionary and one was somebody who had been to Africa. At two separate occasions, they stood and told our congregation that the witches in Africa are going on 30 and 40 day fast, with the explicit purpose of breaking up Christian marriages, especially among Christian leaders, to destroy the force of Christianity in Africa and especially in America. By the way, the dreadful news came over the radio this morning. Anita Pratt is divorcing her husband. Irreconcilable differences. She claims that she is being exploited by her husband and others at the expense, and they will not let her get into her ministry. She needs to get under her husband's cover and quit worrying about whether she's got a ministry or not. Bless her heart. Good woman. Pray. Let's pray that thing will break. You realize how much the devil's going to get out of that? How much good he's going to get out of that? Oh, I thought she was the one that wanted the home to be steady. You see, many in the gay community who are into witchcraft have been hurling curses at that woman and her husband. And bless their hearts, they are like many fundamental Bible-believing Christians. They have no knowledge nor strength against such attack. Those of us who know more should pray definitely and specifically for that. Amen? All right. Man in the synagogue. There's no reason to think he wasn't a believer. He was in a worship place. The demon exploded. I've seen them explode in believers many times. Now, over in Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 16, Jesus comes in contact with a lady who's all bent over and twisted out of shape by deformity. And Jesus said, this was a daughter of Abraham who had been bent with this spirit of infirmity, could not straighten up for 18 years. He calls her a daughter of Abraham. Do you know who Abraham, what Abraham's nickname is in the Bible? Father of the faithful. Jesus specifically said she is a daughter of Abraham. This dear believing woman had been bound by an evil spirit for 18 long years. But thank God Jesus broke his power and let that woman go free. Oh, people, listen. We know so little. Whatever you do, when you get into deliverance, when you start reading and studying, and when you get to working in deliverance and helping people get free, whatever you do, don't be stupid enough to get puffed up with pride and think you know it all. We are learning every week new things. The fourth book, Annihilating the Host of Hell, The Battle Royal, is over halfway done. I asked that principality I was talking to on the phone in New York. I said, how do you like the fourth book? He said, I hate it. It's worse than the others. That was encouraging. It's really good to have it reviewed by the enemy, you know. We are learning every week that goes by new things of how to defeat the enemy, new insights into how he works and how he gains a foothold, and thereby how we can destroy them and loose the people of God so they can take their spiritual authority and inherit their inheritance. Amen. Possess their possessions. We have not yet seen anything of the power that God will unleash through his people when they just begin to get free. Are you aware that every major revival effort, every great move of God has always had casting out of demons in it? And are you aware that you'll have to dig and dig and dig to find that out because it's been kind of played down, and you'll have to read some of the things that are written right at the time it happened, because most of the time, it's played down to the place you don't even hear about it. But demons manifested, people barking like dogs, shaking all over, rolling in the floors. All kinds of things. The best documented is the Welsh revival, War on the Saints. But most of the other moves of God, when you get to digging into them, they started with the casting out of demons. The great Pentecostal movement that started the turn of the century. What was the main push of it? Boom! The latter rain. Boom. Demons. They were throwing out demons all across the country. And for this, they were destroyed. The organized church has fought casting out demons ever since when? I've been doing some digging for the new book. It'll be in the new book. Quotations from the early church fathers from the 200s and 300s, right up close to the church itself. Guess what? All of them were casting out demons in Jesus' name. One nut, I can't remember exactly the quote, but I'll give you the paraphrase of what he said. He stood before a Roman governor. He said, if I cannot cast this evil spirit out of this demoniac, if I cannot set him free in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, then I am a false prophet. Wow. You want to do that? Guess we better get to practicing a little better, huh? Looks like we got a ways to go where we can speak with such confidence. He knew his authority, and he set that man free. People, it's going to get that way again.
Amen.
You're going to have to not just talk and say, I'm a Christian. You're going to have to prove it. And you're going to find out that most of the churches, perhaps 90% or more, are running on pure soul power. That's earthly human enthusiasm. That's good works. Good works. Rich and creamy. Good works. Sweet and lovely. If the Holy Spirit were to go on vacation and he were to announce, for 2 weeks, I'm not going to do anything on the earth, do you realize that the majority of fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, of whatever name they have, do you realize that their services would be totally uninterrupted? Do you realize that their worship would continue? Do you realize that their preaching would continue? They'd continue to say, didn't our pastor preach a good sermon? So full of the Spirit. You bet. Even though the Holy Spirit was absent, there was plenty of Spirit. The same kind of Spirit that's at an Amway meeting. That just slipped right out. Anybody believe that? The same kind of Spirit that's at a Masonic Lodge meeting. The same kind of Spirit that's in a super sales meeting.
Amen.
To get the salesman charged up. Sell, 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 sell. You can do that. You can get a crowd together. You can build multi-million-dollar buildings, which will go under when the crash comes. They're mortgaged to the hilt. They'll never make it through, people. You can do all these things, and you don't need the Holy Spirit at all. You can start in the Spirit and end up in the flesh. You know what I hear? Here's another lie. I saw a rabbit just run right across the trail. I just caught a glimpse of it. Here's a fallacious thing that's running around the country. I bump into it every once in a while. Well, if things are not going right in the service, start off in the flesh and you'll end up in the Spirit. You sure will. But it won't be the kind of Spirit you think it is. It'd be a lovely religious spirit. Friend, let's start in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. If you are dependent on the Holy Spirit for power, you really can't move without Him. Now, none of us are immune, and none of us are omnipotent. There are none of us who know everything that needs to be known. All of us are fallible, full of faults, flaws. If it were not for the Lord, we'd all be wiped out. The demons have said repeatedly, Worley, if you and that stupid bunch of yours had any idea how much power you have, how much authority you have, and if you knew how to use it, we wouldn't stand a chance. Isn't that encouraging? I'm so glad I let the demons talk. They just encourage me every once in a while, you know? I mean, they can tell you some encouraging things. They don't mean to. But the Holy Spirit will verify that the enemy is in consternation. Listen, people. Don't believe all the fallacious arguments. Oh, there's so many more here. Daughter of Abraham, that was a woman who was a believer, bound by an evil spirit. Then there was a member in Corinth over there, 1 Corinthians 5. We already read about that. In Luke 4:38, you'll find a spirit of fever was cast out of Peter's wife's mother, the first pope's mother-in-law. Does sound kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Peter's wife's mother. There's no reason to believe that woman was not a believer. And yet, a spirit of fever was cast out of her. Out of a believer. And then in Acts 10:38, talks about sickness and oppression of the devil. In Matthew 16:13-23, you find Peter making that magnificent confession. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And he said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say this, some say that. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up as a spokesman of the whole group by a revelation from God and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus immediately said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Barjona, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed that to you. It wasn't 5 minutes. Jesus began to talk about his leaving them, his going and being disgraced, and going out in disgrace and dying, and Peter began to rebuke him, and Jesus turned to this man, out of whom had come this magnificent revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He turned to this same man 5 minutes later and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor not the things of God, but of the devil. A spirit had gained a foothold in Peter to try to discourage the Lord. Of course, you have to realize, you know, the devil was at a terrible disadvantage attacking Jesus. The devil sent everything he had against Jesus Christ. It was like a rowboat armed with a pea shooter attacking a battleship. Really, you have to kind of feel sorry for the devil. Jesus Christ took everything he had and just steamed right on to the goal, which was to give himself so that we could be saved. Well, over in Acts 8:20-24, Simon the magician had already believed and was baptized, but he had been into the occult. And those occult spirits reared up in him and caused him trouble. Let's take a quick look at that. It's kind of an interesting account. In Acts 8:20, I believe is where it starts. Verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, said, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes on and says, repent, verse 22, this day of thy wickedness, and pray God, if the fault of thine heart be forgiven thee, for you are in the gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. Now look at this man. This is a man who had heard and believed, but he was messed up. By the way, Peter dealt rather directly with the problem, didn't he? He didn't mince words. He said, brother, you are on thin ice. Now, if that had been today, they would have had to call a council. Now, brother, we feel that perhaps there may be merit in what you say. However, and they would have circled around and around and around. They never got to it. Peter just turned and said, your money perish with you. Some people say, he's not loving. Friend, there was cancer. And he took the only remedy, the shock treatment was the only thing Simon could understand. I use a shock treatment sometimes. Every once in a while, you know, in deliverance, you meet everybody and everybody's dogs, you know, they come for help. Bless their hearts, they do. They come streaming in. And every once in a while, you get somebody, and they have a spirit we call motor mouth. They can talk the horns off a billy goat. Sometimes I feel like saying, bad. No. I mean, they get started and they just won't stop. They say they won't help, but really all they want to do is talk. I got to where now, I'll just look at them, I say, hey, look, we can stop and pray. Well, no, I think you need to know about this, about Grandma's sore toe back under. I said, no, we already know enough to pray. Well, let me tell you this, and then I'll tell you this. And boy, I mean, it goes on and on and on. One day I looked at a poor lady that was doing this, and I said, hey, sis, if you don't shut up, I'm not going to pray. I said, either you shut up right now and we pray, or I'm not going to pray at all. She looked at me kind of stunned, you know. Well, there was no use wasting time. There were 20 other people waiting for prayer. They didn't want to talk. They wanted action. Me too. Bind that motor mouth spirit. That's what, I don't know what its real name is. That's what we call it. Motor mouth. My wife loves to get motor mouth. She's sweet and long-suffering. She has to be because she lives with me. Say amen, hon. She'll tell me later on. Seriously, you know, there's too much to be done for people who just want to waste time. I used to have a lady, I go to bed late. I used to say I'm a hoot owl, but I don't like owls anymore, so I don't say that anymore. I'm a night people. And I go to bed late, and I don't like morning no matter when it comes. And morning's that dreadful time of the day, you know. And about midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm really on high ground, you know. And Glenn, he's not like that. He goes to bed early and gets up waking the birds up in the morning. Ugh. I'm nauseated. Yeah. Now, he's a party pooper. Now, but seriously, there was a lady. She got in the habit of calling me about 7 o'clock every morning. I'd pick up the phone. Hello. After all, I'd been in bed almost 4 hours. Pastor Worley, I knew you'd want to know so-and-so. And I thought, Lord, restrain me from telling her how I don't want to know about that. And she went on winding this little ball of yarn, you know, round and round and round. And I just lay there and listened. Yeah, mm-hmm, uh-huh. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Well, yeah. One morning I was real nasty. I called her name and I said, look, I've been in bed 3 hours. I'm sleepy. I don't want to talk to you. Bang. She quit calling for a while. Of course, I've had other calls, too. That's some real pleasant ones. I remember one time, phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, hello? This is Beelzebub. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He said, oh, now why did you have to do that? I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He said, now you did it again. Didn't take long to get rid of him. He didn't call anymore. By the way, you can do that if you get obscene phone calls. That's a fun time. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I send the angels of God after you. They'll quit calling. Well, really, I go over across the country telling people, you know, deliverance is really a fun ministry. I mean, if you want an exciting life, something that's different, endless variety, all kinds of interesting people and persons, and you get into deliverance, you'll never be bored again. You may never be rested again, but you... In Acts 5:3, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They were in the church. They even came and sold property and brought. Had a little scheme to withhold a little bit for a rainy day, and it came a cloudburst. And the day they brought it forward, there was a gully washer. Peter looked at them and said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Don't say Ananias and Sapphira were lost. They were believers who had been seized by a carnal spirit of covetousness, which led them to lie to the Holy Spirit. Peter pointed that out. He said, "You sold the property. It was yours. If you just wanted to give part of it, why did you come and say we're giving this much? But you came and said we have given all. Therefore, you lied." And that was where the dreadful sin lay. Well, in 2 Corinthians 12:7, you're going to have real trouble with that one. Paul was buffeted by a messenger of Satan in the flesh. Maybe he wasn't saved. You want to try that approach? That doesn't work too well, does it? You wouldn't find many hearers there. I mean, they'd say, can't go that route. Well, then if he wasn't, he himself, by his own testimony, said he was buffeted by a messenger of Satan in his flesh. Oh, I know, you know, they come upon you. They're pressing from the outside. He said, "It's in my flesh." Because now Dr. Haggard's so radical, he found a place over there where Paul got rid of it. Maybe he'll tell you about it. I was going to do that. I couldn't remember it, Marcus, where it was. All right, just go ahead and show out, Marcus. Galatians 3:14. I forgot how ugly you are, Marcus. In 2 Corinthians 11:4, it gets even thicker. Look at that a moment. 2 Corinthians 11:4. Some of these scriptures have been totally overlooked by the enemies of deliverance. It's as if they never saw them at all. Verse 3 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11:3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or bewitched or cast a spell on Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you..." Who is this written to, by the way? To the believers in Corinth, right? So, we would be not stretching at all if you believers in Corinth receive another spirit. Is it possible for believers to receive another spirit? Why would Paul warn them about it? An impossibility. If you receive another spirit which you have not received. Now, they had received the Holy Spirit. They had received also the spirits of God. When Marcus begins to preach on the spirits of God, he will show you how that in the letters that Paul wrote, he was constantly loosing the spirits of God on the people he wrote to. A glorious truth that's been overlooked. But God never did overlook it. He's uncovering it for our blessing and our benefit. If you receive another spirit that you have not received, Paul would have never written that were it not possible to receive another spirit. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And look down to verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you or cast a spell on you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" The Galatians had had a spell cast on them. Bewitched is a term of magic, witchcraft. And he said, "Who has done this to you, that you should believe and not obey the truth after you've already known it?" This, by the way, this Galatian letter will help you to understand why a lot of believers who know better are not doing better. And why they've been exposed to the truth and will turn their back on it and do the opposite. Why they'll see a miracle and you see them a week later and they say, "Oh, I don't believe that." Why they'll see a demon cast out and seemingly they're all convinced. They say, "Yeah, that's right. It's really true. I didn't see it before, but now I understand it." You see them 2 days later. They've been over to their pastor. He said, "Why, a Christian can't have a demon? Really? Why, of course not. You know you're spirit-filled. You know this. You know that." And you see him again. "Nope, no way." But you saw it. Well, no, but it's not true. It's not right. I can't explain it, but it's still not right. It's unbelievable. I'll tell you something else. People who are in a church under the authority of a pastor who teaches you cannot have a demon seldom can be helped in deliverance. Let that soak in. This has been discovered on the warfare field. Dr. Haggard called me about it once. He said, we just found out something. I don't know whether you bumped into this or not, but said when you are in deliverance, we had a boy in deliverance and he was coming along just fine. He'd had several sessions, getting better all the time. And all of a sudden, he kept coming, but the deliverance suddenly shut off. We couldn't figure out what happened. Suddenly, it wouldn't work anymore. He's making more headway. As a matter of fact, he started backtracking a little, losing ground. He had started going to a fellowship, had put himself under the authority of a pastor who taught fervently no Christian could have a demon. And his own deliverance was stopped, dead in its tracks. You better stay away from the literature and the tapes of people who believe that a Christian can't have a demon. You will pick that thing up in your spirit if you're not careful. And it can block your own deliverance. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you where some warning signs are. Be careful. This thing is very, very strong, and the devil is against it. Now look at 1 Timothy 4:1, please. 1 Timothy 4:1. Very interesting passage where Paul writes, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." You think people haven't been seduced by spirits away from the truth? Friend, everywhere I go, I find people who used to do deliverance. They now found a better way, a higher ministry. The demons have repeatedly offered to put me into a higher ministry. A higher ministry pays better financially. It gets a lot of crowds, and most of the people like you instead of throwing up their hands in horror when you come to town. They'll pack the auditoriums to see you rather than to throw up their hands and scream and say, "Oh, he's come again, that terrible man." The higher ministries are lovely. Demons have told me, "We would offer you this higher ministry." But he said, "You're too blankety-blank smart. You'd figure out what we were doing, so we're just going to tell you flat out we want to buy you." Said, "We fooled some of the others, said they were stupid. They actually thought their God told them to move out of deliverance and into these other ministries." You're welcome. Be careful, people. Don't let anything get you off the trail. Deliverance is the thing the devil hates with a fervency and a passion that's hard for us to understand. Seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. You can fall into it. You're not immune. Now, we're running late. Glenn set the clock fast. I want to give you just a rundown of a brief outline. You can jot these scriptures and check them. I won't have time to develop them at all. I want to show you something that demons in Christians is presented in type in the scriptures. You know what a type is? That's a scriptural picture that gives you an overview of the truth. Where is the temple of God today? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you some interesting scriptures here. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:19, by the way. This human body temple can be invaded, can be raped by seducing spirits. Corrupted, can be destroyed, right? The temple. Man defiles the temple. That's talked about in 1 Corinthians 6:13 through 19. Now, I want you to see a picture. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and 4, Paul discusses the Antichrist. And he talks about the Antichrist who sits as God in the temple of God and defiles the temple. Are you following me? That Antichrist who is sitting in the temple of God is a picture of what happens in the believer, who is the temple of God. That vicious spirit sits in there as God wants to take charge, to rule, to wreck and to ruin. Exactly what the Antichrist plans to do on the earth. But in miniature, you're seeing it in the believers already working. Spirit of Antichrist. You might want to jot down some references to the son of perdition, which is one of the titles of the Antichrist, in John 17:12, John 6:70, and in John 13:27. I just want to drop that on you to let you know that this thing about the Antichrist being in the temple of God, if you don't think a demon is Antichrist, you better think again. Demons sitting in the temple of God as God. You don't have to be in deliverance very long until a demon looks at you and says, I'm in charge here. Leave us alone. He belongs to us. She belongs to us. You leave us alone. What we need in these days is to quit quibbling and splitting hairs and get down to the business of doing what Jesus said. He said, these signs shall, a legal term, shall, meaning without a doubt. These signs shall, without a doubt, follow those who do what? Believe. What is the first and primary reason people do not cast out demons? They do not believe. They may believe Jesus is the Christ. They may believe He's born of a virgin. They may believe He rose from the grave. They may believe a lot of good, sound Bible doctrine. But they do not believe what He said about casting out demons. Therefore, they don't do it. Those who believe in My name shall they cast out devils. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, that's the main thing you need to settle. If you haven't asked Jesus in your heart, or if you're not sure you have, by all means, ask Him into your heart tonight. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I'll come in. If you've never asked Him in or you're not sure about it, by all means, ask Him to come in. Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, if I've never really asked You in my heart before, I'm asking You here and now, come into my heart and save me from all my sins. If He's not in your heart, He'll come in. If He's there already, He'll tell you why you're confused. You can't lose that way. You say, supposing I do that, nothing happens. And you come to the front, see me or Brother Glenn, one of the other workers up here, and say, I need to talk to somebody about salvation. Get it fixed on the Word of God. That'll never change. Once it's fixed, then you're on your way. You say, that's not my problem. I'm being driven. I'm being harassed. I'm being tormented. It's producing compulsive behavior. Then you're talking about the work of demons. These signs shall follow those who believe. In My name shall they cast out demons. And that isn't a question. That's an absolute statement. If that's your problem, by all means seek help. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray for some people. We're going to put a cutoff limit on it because we're planning to run a pretty intense thing here. But we will pray for some people tonight if we can to get you free. There are workers here who believe. The people who believe are the ones who can cast out evil spirits. Could we stand and sing, I Believe in the Lord, one more time? You've been so tired and sitting there so long. Let's stretch up and get relaxed again, okay? And make your way forward. Instrument, you can go ahead and play if you like, and we'll just let you come forward now if you need help.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.